and bring us back to where we want to be.
I absolutely agree that Donald Trump is responsible for the current state of the economy. It seems like the Trump administration has been operating with the sole goal of inflicting as much damage on working Americans as possible. He took office and spiked 2.9% inflation up to 3.8%. Gas prices are up to $4.50 in most states. And he did this all while stripping insurance away from 10 million Americans. I think the most impressive part is the deficit hasn't even decreased at all. The deficit is still increasing year over year. And one more point I want to make is when Donald Trump took office, he and Elon Musk immediately gutted the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, right? This protected people like us from fraud, from predatory actions from banks or businesses. He gutted that. So Americans are not only worse off, Americans are not only struggling in their pocketbook, but we're more prone to fraud. I don't get how this makes us safer or better off at all.
You know,
I just got off yet another CNN Newsnight debate. And in this one, I get to delve a little bit deeper into my Iran frameworks, talk more about how much this war has failed and hurt the American consumer and worker. And I think it's worth dropping a like, watching until the end, if you want to see more debates on the Adam Mockler feed. I appreciate each and every single one of you. I've been meeting more of you guys out and about, and it's just absolutely amazing to be building a pro-democracy community. So subscribe below, see you all, and watch until the end.
Tonight, explosive new reporting severely undercutting President Trump's claims about Iran's missile capabilities. According to the New York Times, assessments show that Iran has restored operational access to 30 of the 33 missile sites along the Strait of Hormuz, which could threaten U.S. warships and oil tankers. Only three of the missile sites are totally inaccessible. The Times also notes that Iran still has about 70% of its mobile launchers and has retained another 70% of its pre-war missile stockpile. And as the war drags on, even some of the biggest hawks are beginning to lose patience.
I don't trust Pakistan as far as I can throw them. If they actually do have Iranian aircraft parked in Pakistan bases to protect Iranian military assets, that tells me we should be looking maybe for somebody else to mediate. No wonder this damn thing is going nowhere. So, you know, I appreciate all you've done.
He says it's going nowhere. And Jason, we've talked about this with you on this show for several months now at this point. And we have been told that by this point, they would have to capitulate, that the blockade alone would force them to the negotiating table. That really has not happened. And not only that, but they're rebuilding their missile capabilities. They still have all the nuclear material in their possession. So, as Adam often asks, what are we getting from all of this bombing?
Well, we might get more bombing if they actually do get close to what the New York Times is reporting. I mean, obviously, the White House has pushed back on some of the claims about their capabilities and their access. I think one can reasonably look at how they're acting right now, and they're certainly not using those missile sites at this point if they do, in fact, have access to it. I think the president doesn't want to get involved more so militarily. He's giving them every opportunity. The blockade is, in fact, working. Their economy is weakened. It's going to take some time, and I think that's the one thing that the president, just from a messaging standpoint, is in a really tough spot. He's not going to come out and say this is going to take 6 months, or you cannot put that kind of, you cannot put that kind of timeline on any of this, because you're basically telling the enemy that all you have to do is wait this out for X amount of time. So politically, that puts him in a tough spot. But as I've said, and I do think that this is bearing out as truth, he's willing to take political hits because he thinks what's happening now, the end goal, is the right thing.
Yeah. I just want to address the absurd reframing that I heard here 1 second ago. This idea that Donald Trump is willing to take some political hits as if this is all some intentional strategy on his part. When this war started, we heard three or four different things. No missiles, no nukes, no terrorists, and maybe regime change. That's what he was going for. Regime change has not happened. The IRGC
not
is still in
happen.
Control. It's not going to happen. The IRGC is
right
listen.
Now.
The IRGC is so deeply embedded.
A cardboard cutout.
The IRGC is in Iran, and they're in charge.
We're
they are so
there,
deeply
though.
Embedded in Iran's institutions that you can't just get them out unless you go boots on the ground. Who's in control right now? The IRGC. Number two, on no nukes. What they did was scatter the scientists around the country and put all of the blueprints into the cloud, so it still exists. Yes, the nuclear is the enriched uranium is buried under rubble, but it's still in Iran. They can just rebuild, get the info from the cloud, and then rebuild again. So that takes me to no terrorism. they can still fund terrorism. They'll likely get money from this deal, and the Strait of Hormuz will likely be told 3 months from now. So they're going to keep taking money. What was the last one? No nukes, no terrorists, no missiles. Okay, we just talked about that right there. They clearly still have missiles. In fact, our own supply has been depleted.
Bring the UAE closer to
our own supply has been depleted by one third to one half
because we have a ceasefire. Because they successfully convinced Trump that they're at a negotiating table, and yet it's been a month and there's been no deal. Actually, several of you brought this up. Who are they negotiating with, and what is the actual strategy? The son of Iran's last Shah just spoke earlier, and he says there are too many mixed messages coming out of this White House. Listen.
You have to have a clear message. You have to have a clear strategy of aiming for putting an end to this regime, allowing for people to revolt, allowing for elements within the military and security forces to defect and join with the people. All of that has to be coordinated as a coherent strategy. You cannot send mixed signals. On the one hand, say people need to rise, and at the same time say, wait, we are negotiating. It's confusing the hell out of everyone.
And you can't rely on it. And like you said, who are we going to negotiating with? A cardboard cutout? That does not look good for the president.
Well,
if he is not defeating
you're losing a negotiation to a cardboard cutout.
One of the earliest signs, Elizabeth.
He eliminated everybody else.
But that's exactly what I was going to ask you about, because one of the earliest signs of a potential miscalculation from the administration was that they acknowledged that all the people that they thought they could potentially work with, they had killed. And so when you start the conflict saying that, oh, actually, we eliminated all the people that maybe we could talk to, and now we don't even know who's running the country. Isn't that a bad sign that they're not really sure how this is going to go?
I mean, I will never say it's a bad sign if those that want Americans murdered are no longer on the face of the earth. I'm never going to think that. And I think, look, you brought up amazing points. There's nothing good that Americans can point to thus far that we can say, hey, this is going to end tomorrow. Of course, people are worried, people are panicked. At the same time, everything you mentioned is still worth it if we make sure they can never have a nuclear weapon. It is very easy to sit here while we're all still on the face of the earth and we're all here and America's as strong as possible, but it's not that easy to say it if, God forbid, they throw that bomb at us. We have no idea what could happen.
Just clarify what the Iranian regime is. It's not one person. It's not their Navy. It's not their Air Force. It is the Islamic. It is the IRGC. The IRGC Navy absolutely does exist. That's why the Strait is still closed. But the IRGC is deeply embedded within the institutions, and former IRGC members actually inhabit the banks, the colleges, all the institutions within Iran, and they have an incentive to never let their power go because they were seen committing awful acts. So you have
I think we're built for this moment. The IRGC is absolutely built for this moment. And this is something that I think
America's
the president, let me just say, I think the president is used to dealing with other transactional individuals and even other transactional countries, frankly, like China. This is an ideology that we're talking about here. These people have all the time in the world to wait. They'll take all the pain.
And one agreement does not kill an ideology. And so even if we come to an agreement and they say we will not build nuclear weapons, the next day they can start again.
Why did we celebrate Obama's deal?
That's right.
I'm not saying Obama's deal was perfect,
but at least
it's a lot of people celebrating that deal. What I'm saying is that you're not going to bomb out an ideology unless you eliminate a whole country, and I think we all would say that.
But what you can do to de-radicalize is oftentimes integrate a country into the global economy, and that's what the nuclear deal did. We integrated Iran, we had oversight in Iran, and it was better than whatever the hell we have now.
Tonight, erratic and unhinged, that's what critics are calling Donald Trump's behavior over the last 24 hours. From a social media repost accusing Barack Obama of treason to his outburst against reporters. Over the course of an hour and 15 minutes overnight, Trump posted more than 50 times, parroting debunked claims and firing off personal attacks, prompting critics to question his mental state. But today, as the president departed for one of his most consequential foreign trips in recent memory, a reporter's basic question about the ballooning cost of his ballroom seems to have set him off.
We have a ballroom that's under budget. It's going up right here. I've doubled the size of it because we obviously need that. And we're right now on budget, under budget, and ahead of schedule. I doubled the size of it, you dumb person.
Double the size.
You are not a smart person.
Nothing gets him more worked up, it seems, than criticism of his ballroom, of all things. What's going on with the president? And why shouldn't Americans be concerned about a president that is retweeting unhinged things in the middle of the night, then waking up the next morning and screaming at reporters, calling women, in that case, a black woman, for the second time in a week, a dumb person?
I think we have to be honest here. Whether you like him or hate him, this is not a new Donald Trump, right? We have seen this man speak the way that he speaks, post the way that he posts. I think he was famous for his tweets long before he ran for office, and yet 80 million Americans voted him right back in. So I think the question is, why did America think this is the president that we need, right? We can debate whether you like it or not. For some reason, the majority of the country thought this was the man for the moment. They like the way he speaks. They like the way he posts. They yeah, like what he puts out there.
Is it okay?
It's
the majority of the country thinks so.
So if the majority of the country thinks that, like, the earth is flat, that's okay?
Well, that's why we have elections, right? We both know the earth's not flat, but I think...
And we both know that behavior's not okay.
Republicans for a long time were telling me, you know, Joe Biden couldn't do the job. A majority of Americans elected him to. That didn't stop you from criticizing him for everything under the sun, and perhaps rightfully so. But I'm just wondering, why is there a different bar for this president?
Well, I don't see it as a different bar. I think people are criticizing it. You're criticizing it. It gets criticized by Republicans and Democrats all the time. I think the concession is that this is just not new. Right. The idea that people now are calling him unhinged with it. You've always called him unhinged with his tweets.
Exactly. I mean, that's
not a new story.
You're right.
And I think it is a fair criticism, right, that it's not presidential. I don't think it's particularly presidential, and I wish he wouldn't do it because I think it ends up causing him a lot more headache than he needs. But it's also a case of you can't change that. That is who he is.
You guys are right that this is not a new Donald Trump, but the situation that we're in is new. It is unique. We've never had a war going on while gas prices are spiking, while inflation is spiking, and while the debt is just ballooning. I mean, Doge, at the beginning of Trump's term, was purported to cut costs, right? Cost overruns were supposed to be cut. Not only did they miserably fail at that, but now the deficit is up, and now he's pursuing a $1 billion ballroom. He's pursuing a $1.2 trillion golden... The ballroom?
Yes. The ballroom is privately funded.
Well, they're now asking
about
for the Secret
security.
Service.
Well, you're talking about security, and it's 20%.
Okay. Let's talk about the security piece, because I think this is also a big topic on Capitol Hill today. Lots of Republicans skeptical. There is a $1 billion price tag that was labeled as being for the president's ballroom project. And when you look at the details, it's really $220 million for the White House complex, which includes some things that seem to be related to the ballroom and perhaps things that are not. And then the rest of it seems to be hundreds of millions of dollars, to the tune of nearly $800 million for things that seem to be part of the normal job, frankly, of the Secret Service, of DHS. And look at those numbers and just remember that the Department of Homeland Security received a budget last year that was two times its normal budget. It was 190-something billion dollars that they just received in funding, and now they're trying to justify $1 billion for all of these things.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we may have lost our ability to see outrage here because there's so much every single day that is coming out of this White House that is outrageous, that is, you know, potentially corrupt. I mean, you know, it's interesting about the private donors. I'm actually not so keen on the private donors, you know, horse trading, you know, that we know has gone on. But I think people, and this is very worrisome, I think something we've all touched on, people's pain, which is economic right now, big time, coupled with the turning away from you know, reliable news sources and the fragmentation of news and the ownership of the control of information by a handful of very powerful people, some of which I'm sure have donated to the ballroom. Mm-hmm. That's all part of a very worrisome turn towards oligopoly in this country.
And it's such an important point. And I just want to note, like, the way you're pointing out, the connection between this ballroom and the economic pain that people are feeling, you're not the only person who made note of that. Jim Justice, let me just read this quote. He says, "I can't get my hands around the fact that a lot of people are really hurting, and they see $1 billion, and $1 billion is an awful, awful, awful lot of money." Mm-hmm. When you see that B in front of a number, it's like, what?
What? Yeah, it's almost too hard to conceptualize for most people. $1 million is almost too hard to conceptualize for some people. Quite honestly, $100,000 in most Americans' lives right now feels so far out of reach. This is, just to continue on your point, this is part of the strategy, though. I actually don't think, I think Donald Trump is a bit unhinged at times. And I also think he's pretty strategic. I think he wants, I think, we're flooding the zone. And so we could either talk about these tweets or him calling a reporter unjustifiably and disrespectfully dumb and stupid, or we could keep our eye on the ball and that we're in a war that we have no plans to get out, that Americans are suffering, and there's a B in front of this thing called a ballroom, not just the ballroom. The B is for billions. And so I just, 80 million Americans did vote for him, but I'm not exactly sure if he, they voted exactly for this. And I just implore the American people not to be distracted.
Yeah.
Democrats or Republicans, not to be distracted, because we deserve better than what we are getting right now from our elected officials, particularly
ballroom,
the president.
A triumphal arch, even the renovation of the reflecting pool, which, you know, the reflecting pool always needs to be renovated, it seems. All of these are things that seem to be distractions.
They have,
Young people get a lot of flack for having a lack of focus or being easily distractible, but I see the president of the United States as a more distractible person than any young person right now. Again, he's pursuing this ballroom, he's pursuing the reflecting pool, but he also wants a 60% increase in the military budget to refund and repay for the missiles that we used against Iran to get nothing in the first place. So it is economic calamity, and Donald Trump is focused on side projects. Very, very unfocused right now.
It is 1 a.m. in New York. If you made it to the end of this video, drop a blue heart. I love you all. Peace out.